Good evening, and welcome to What a World! Celebrating diversity and loving it, this is Nevin Campanella bringing you a radio talk show that has no limits and bows to no one. From this microphone, we bring you guests who will lead you across those shadowy plains of forbidden knowledge. Welcome to What a World! Celebrating diversity and loving it, this is Nevin Campanella bringing you a radio talk show that has no limits and bows to no one. From this microphone, we bring you guests who will lead you across those shadowy plains of forbidden knowledge. Tonight's show, folks, is going to be a little bit different because the guest will be the producer of What a World! But before we begin, Charlotte will give us an update on physical predictions. Hi, Charlotte. What do you have for us tonight?
Hi, Nevin. Well, this is a message for the week of October of the 24th through the 29th, including today, actually. There have been several quakes that have made the news this week. They're not so much due to size, but the location. A 5.9 in Papua New Guinea, and the Kermadec Islands also had some more activity. This is all part of the Oceania area, which affects the left ribs if you are a biological sensitive. Crete had another event, which can also be a precursor for Turkey, along with the Ionian, Caspian, and Aegean Seas. This is earaches and heart pain, and it can also include Greece or Italy as well. The Windward Islands had another quake. That's the right side earache, which can also include Taiwan, Leeward, and Trinidad Islands. Indonesia is still active with a lot of quakes in Sumatra. And the Malacca and the Banda Seas have had activity this week, and the Flores Seas is also part of that area. If you should happen to feel that, you would be getting upper back pain across the shoulder blades and migraine headaches. On the right side of the leg, hip, or knee is Peru, Brazil, and Colombia. They had another event just in the last 24 hours. The Sierras are very active right now again with Mammoth, Tom's Place, Bishop, and Coastal Junction. They cause severe stomach pains that I refer to as the green apple belly aches. There's been sharp heart pains for Baja California, Mexico. They had two small events there this afternoon. There's been a lot of activity in Pakistan. That's left earaches, and that can include China, India, Afghanistan as well. There's been a lot of symptoms in the right shoulder blade area, which feels like somebody hit you with a baseball bat across the shoulder blade on the right side. That's the Kuril Islands. And if that's on the left side, it would be Honshu, Kyushu, Tokyo, or Hokkaido, Japan. There's been a major invasion of ants for several people this week, including myself. They seem to be in everything and on everything, and then they just disappear. And when they disappear, generally the quake will hit within 12 to 24 hours. It's always a water event, and it's always at least a 6, which I'm assuming...
Let me stop you for a minute.
Yes.
You said ants, is that correct?
Ant invasions,
Okay. We've had an invasion of spiders throughout the entire park.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was just wondering, does that have
any meaning? Well, I don't know. I know ants and earthworms and various things like that. I don't know about spiders. It would probably be similar.
Yeah, these are not poisonous. They're really tiny... little tiny ones, and I mean, it's been like an invasion here, but it's finally stopped. Huh. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. Cats have been sick again. Kitties get sick, and they bring up what you think about as fur balls. But actually what the cats are doing, they're responding to the same thing that we respond to as biological sensitives. The areas the cats seem to be sensitive to is Yucca and Simi Valley, California, Big Bear, California, and Oregon, and Japan if the quake is over a 6. And this is when all the kitties start getting sick. Usually, you know, if one cat gets sick, you think, well, maybe it's a fur ball. But when you have 5 cats like I have right now, and you have 3 or more get sick within an hour, you know there's something else going on. Since we had a break in our weather in Oregon on Thursday, we had earthquake clouds appearing. That's another good indication of a quake, a 6 or greater in the water within 24 to 48 hours.
Charlotte, would you describe to the audience what an earthquake cloud might look like?
Oh, sure. Earthquake clouds are basically cirrus clouds. They're very high. They're very thin. But then all of a sudden, all the edges pull up, and they get real curly along the area of the sides of the clouds. They all get wavy and S-shape, and some of them actually take on a terminology they call mare's tails, which look like a horse's tail flying in the wind with the feathery effect to it. And that's earthquake clouds.
Is there any place on your website that there might be some images that they could go to?
I had some images. I'm not certain they're still working. They changed that website, but a person may go there and look. I'm trying to get some pictures with the digital, and when I do, those will be up on my website.
Wonderful.
The earthquake clouds actually back in Aristotle's time were referred to as earthquake fog, and he referred to them and said they show up at early morning and late evening, and they are a sign that an earthquake is coming. I was not aware of this report until the book came out in 1985, but I had already been talking about them since 1980. So we were all on the same page about that. There's been several beachings in Oceania, which again is Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, in 2 separate days, over 100 whales. They were pilot whales. These generally indicate something happening toward Northern California. And that's pretty much my report. If you want to write to me, please feel free to contact me with questions or feedback at sharking@visor.net.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Charlotte. And we'll be hearing from you next week. Hopefully, you're not going to be in so much pain, because what you go through sounds very painful. Thank you so much, and you have
no
a
problem.
Wonderful evening.
You too. Good night.
Good night. Well, we also have a toll-free number to take calls. I don't actually know if we'll get to it. It kind of depends on timing and so on and so forth. But the number is 1-888-268-4313. Now, let's get to this date in history. There are some interesting events that took place on this date of October 30th. Remember War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds, and all the movies that came out? Well, on October 30th, in 1938, that's when that show was broadcast. The show was actually broadcast as a news event. They never said that this was just a play. Now, on October 30th, in 1995, I got depressed. What did I get depressed about? Well, at one point, I had been really excited just prior to that date because I saw a lot of entertainment going on in Quebec. Quebec was going to have a grand referendum, and they were going to negotiate independence from Canada. As far as I was concerned, that would be a grand piece of entertainment for the next 4 or 5 years. But they chickened out. It didn't happen, much to my chagrin. Whose birthday on October 30th? Well, how about John Adams, American Revolutionary leader? He was born in 1735 and did eventually become President of the United States. You know, last week, folks, we had Winfrey on talking about reincarnation. I can't help but wish, wonder, we couldn't get a reincarnated form of John Adams, Madison, Jefferson, anyone who could stand up and be willing to take charge. Who died on October 30th? Most of you will not know this name, especially your younger people. Edgar Bergen. He was born in 1903. Who was he? a very famous American ventriloquist. And had you grown up through the 50s, like I had, you would have seen him on television. Also, a very famous comedian died in the year 2000, Steve Allen, who was born in 1921. Current news? Well, no, I'm not going to comment on the current investigation in D.C. It doesn't make much sense to even say anything about it. The answer to all of it is simple. Cut back the federal government, return state sovereignty, and return the Constitution back to the people. How do we get there? Well, folks, we need a John Adams or a Thomas Jefferson, someone. What else do we need to take back besides our Constitution? I'd like to take back the clock. It makes me nuts to have to go through turning back and moving the clock forward twice a year. I'd like to know what screwball came up with that plan. Has anybody noticed the picture on the Drudge Report? I don't know whether it's a fake, whether it's a spoof, but it's a picture of the eye of the Hurricane Wilma. And very clearly, right in the center of the eye, you will see the number 2. And I mean, it's not fuzzy, it's absolutely clear. That's why I'm wondering if this isn't a spoof, because it is so clear, it looks a little too clear. Well, Wilma came with the number 2, and so did Mr. and Mrs. Newsom. They had 2 sons, twins, and tonight, one of them is our guest, Mr. Don Newsom. Hi, Don. How are you?
Well, how are you, Nevin? I'm doing very good. Thank you.
Well, tonight we're going to do a little bit of sharing about blogging service. And before we get started on that, Don, how about talking a little bit about your background? You know, who is Don Newsom? Where does he come from? It seems like he dropped out of the sky and onto the Internet. So start with your background a little bit. Who are you?
Well, that's kind of a long story.
We got lots of time. I know the producer.
Well, okay. I was, born in Canada, in British Columbia, with my twin brother and my mother and father had a ranch there. It was a rather large one. I guess we lived in a home that had quite a substantial home, about 56 rooms, couple nannies, butler, you know. And lived that way for a few years when we were younger, and it was like Christmas every day, if you can imagine.
John, where did all that wealth come from?
Well, my father made it. He was he worked hard most of his life, and he found some significant companies, and he made quite a bit of money. And then but he lost it. We went through this role about 3-4 times in our life where he made oodles of money, and then the next Christmas we'd get a belt and a pair of socks, and we'd live in a one-bedroom shanty apartment in the, let's call it the 13th floor of a pink building.
Oh, so it was feast or famine for you growing
up? It was. It was a roller coaster. We went from one end of the spectrum to the other, and there was no rhyme or reason to it, and there was really no warning. I mean, one Christmas we'd have everything we wanted on our list, 3 pages long, line by line, and then the next Christmas we'd have literally nothing. And he did this a few times in our life, so it was an interesting time growing up for my brother and I.
Well, I know that your parents are both still alive, but I understand your mother is ill. Is that correct?
She's very ill. She's worked very hard her life. You know, my mother's one of the people that when you meet, she has such a powerful heart. She's a service to other person that will give, like Mother Teresa, till she can't give anymore, and then she'll give you everything else. But she's been that way all her life and worked very, very hard, and I think that caught up to her. I mean, she had to tend to 2 very unruly boys, and she had to balance out a family situation that was a roller coaster ride from heaven to hell. an express both ways, and it was difficult.
Where are they now? Where are they still in Canada?
No, but they actually live close to the Canadian border now. They were living nearby us, but decided to move back to the Northwest. They love it there.
Well, you got to like water if you want to move up to the Northwest.
You do.
A lot of rain. your brother is a twin. Is it fraternal twin or identical twins?
Well, we look very, very close. I mean, most people can't tell us apart. We are fraternal, but we look quite identical. It's pretty rare that twins will look as identical as we do, but are fraternal.
And is your brother involved with you today? Does he live close by, or what's his status?
He does, and I apologize for the way I'm talking, because I'm trying to, you know, with the system the way it is without that other part, I'm talking light because I see every time I say a word the meter's going off the chart. That's
fine. You're doing fine.
Excellent. Well, my brother lives about 40 minutes from me, and we went to university together. We went to school together. We lived together. We worked together. And Doug and I never worked for anybody since we were about 16. We went into business for ourselves, believe it or not, yes, at a young age. And it was initially with our father. And over the years, we now work, you know, we got into business with just each other because my father retired. And we got into a totally separate line of business than he was ever in. So Doug and I have been not only best friends, but we've been partners and brothers, you know, for life. And I think, you know, he likes the same things I do, does the same things I do. We're two peas in a pod. And so, you know, it's just been a match made in heaven. Now, I wouldn't have said that when I was younger.
No, I'm sure. Sibling rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what kind of businesses did you get involved in?
Well, initially, you know, when we started working with our father, he threw us into the corporate world very quickly. As soon as we were in there, he said, well, you're going to start out as mail boys and work your way up. Well, within 2 weeks, we were running the crews. And these were basically companies that are tech companies, mineral or base metal companies, or precious metal companies, mining companies. And we were working, arranging the funding for them, working with the brokers to help make a market, and doing a lot of PR work for these companies. Yeah. And so that continued on for a number of years till our early 20s.
How old are you now, Don?
I'll be 37 in December.
Oh, I had you pegged for a lot younger.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I feel younger.
Well, you sound younger. I really did. I thought maybe you were around 27 or 28.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I am. I'm 21, and I'll always be 21. That's the way I look at it.
Well, your history is very much business oriented. Some of those businesses created problems for you.
They did.
Could you give us a little summary of that?
Sure. Well, you can imagine when we grew up, we went through, as I was telling you, a roller coaster. I mean, from the super rich to the super poor, and I mean super poor, where you basically. I can't describe to you the difference. I mean, if you know how a poor person lives, you can imagine how we lived in a one-bedroom shack that was just, I mean, the worst criminal-infested area, from living in a mansion that had pools inside and out, 56 rooms. And that kind of twisted us. I mean, my brother and I got a little twisted because this roller coaster happened, you know, not only several times, but to such extremes that it was, I can't describe it. I don't know if I'd want to put anybody through that, but, we started getting into the mining business when we were working with our father, and we were running these companies. When he threw us in there, we were very young, and we were full of vip and vinegar, and we were coming out of school with top grades, top in academics. We thought we were the stuff of life, and we were the final perfect product of perfect breeding, and the world was our oyster, and money was king, and we were going to go out and conquer the world. And with that naivety and, I guess, bump, we threw ourselves into our work in such a manner as to be... as to break laws. And by that I mean, you know, there were certain laws that Canada had, and one of those was you had to have a license in order to do promotion of stock. Now, granted, there were many people in Canada that didn't have licenses that worked as what they call promoters. We were them. Even though you had to have a license, we didn't, many didn't, but that was a law we broke. We also, you know, we had 32 brokerage accounts with different Canadian and U.S. companies, most of them Canadian. And we had a lot of cash in some accounts, a lot of stock in some accounts, and we give these brokers certain standing orders, like if the market gets to here, buy the stock. If you got this much cash in there, you know, buy the stock. Or if in this account... that you should be a seller. We've got, you know what I mean? So all these brokers, and eventually we had several trades that what they call wash traded. In other words, one account, let's call it a Don Newsome account, sold his own stock to a Don Newsome account in another brokerage firm. That's called wash trading. It's illegal. Now, we didn't know we did that, but we did it. And it happened because I guess the brokers and ourselves weren't aware of it. Well, we broke that law. The other one was we were, I guess you could say we were trying to hold a market up for financing. And in a way, when you do that, that's manipulation of a market. You know what I'm saying? You can't.
I understand what you said, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty fuzzy when it comes to finances. I'll just take your word for it that some sort of market.
Well, yeah. See, there's a stock trading, let's say, at a dollar, and you're going to do a financing. These brokerage houses are about to give you, let's say, $2 million. Well, in order to get the $2 million, your stock has to be at $1.50 because that's what you agreed to cross the stock at. So you want it above $1.50. So you then go step into the market and you start buying, creating an artificial market. You see what I mean? In order and you don't want it to go too high. Because then that changes the financing agreement. So you're, in effect, you're really manipulating the market, although we would call it maintaining the market, but really that's naivety again. It was manipulating, and we did that. And that was.
I remember a number of years ago, mm-hmm. Coincidentally, two brothers were doing something with the silver market, trying to corner the silver market in some way. Is that similar to what you're talking about?
No, that's something totally different.
Okay, I knew I'm really off base here when it comes to finances. Go ahead, Don.
Well, it's just that we were young, and we didn't think that, I guess, the rules applied to us. And but see, that wasn't the real reason for what happened to us. I mean, the real reason was everyone was doing what we were doing. Why did they single us out? Well, because we upset the wrong people in power. And I don't want to go into that because that's just, you know, that's neither here nor there. But
yeah, it's old history. That's okay.
Yeah, needless to say, we lost everything we owned. And
give us a time frame on that. When are we talking about?
I think... to be honest with you, it must have been when we were in our early 20s when the charges came down and we lost everything.
So we're talking about 17 years ago.
Correct.
10 years ago.
Correct. Okay. It was quite some time ago, and all of our assets were frozen. The government there basically the superintendent of brokers, or what we would call the Security Exchange Commission, they have a different set of laws there where they have quasi-jurisdiction. They can literally try you and hang you, and you can't do anything about it. You can't even bring witnesses on your behalf. It's a real kangaroo-style justice that they have there. I wouldn't call it justice. And we ended up losing one of the largest properties we'd ever acquired to the same guy who tried to wheel and deal us prior to us getting into this mess. So, you know, there were certain reasons. It was a multi-million-dollar situation. And some people wanted it. They wanted us out of the way, and they got us out of the way. That's pure and simple. And they used the law to do it because we were young, stupid, and, they got us, fair and square.
Well, at the tail end of that, what was the result? I mean, was there
punishment imposed of some sort? We lost everything. We lost all the stocks, all the monies, everything we had. When it was frozen, we still had to come up with literally $250,000 just to pay the lawyer when we had nothing. They froze everything. So we went through that. We ended up having to spend, funny, because they actually had hauled my father into jail, if you can imagine. My father had never seen the inside of a jail before in his life. And here
Why was he involved in this?
Well, he was the head of the management firm at the time.
Ah, okay.
Right. So they hauled me, myself, my brother, my father, and my sister, who worked as a secretary, hauled...
Your sister?
Yeah.
I did not know you had a sister.
Yeah, I have two half-sisters on my mother's side and two half-brothers on my father.
Oh, okay.
Then they slapped us with the 20-year penalties, that we can't be officers or directors of Canadian companies for 20 years. And that was the sentence. And then my brother had to do some light time in Canada, then some house arrest time. And that's pretty much what happened.
At the end of all that, when it was all over, when all the dust settled, what did you do?
Well, that was rough. I mean, that was rough on my father, because you got to understand, my father is a very honest man. When he looks you in the eye and he tells you something, you can just walk to hell knowing he's going to keep whatever word he gave you, whether it's even if he doesn't just say it's my word, he just has to tell you he's going to do something, and it's done. And he's always been that way, and it crushed him. It crushed my mother, because she had to sell her, you know, and it inevitably sold her business. And she had a very successful business. She had to sell it, and, you know, whatever we could scrounge up, we basically moved at that point to California. And we decided to set up business, do what we know how to do, but we only knew how to do it in Canada, so it was different. We came to the U.S. To do business, went to San Diego, and of course, if anybody's listening, they know the slick willies that live in San Diego. Well, you can imagine, we met them all, and they took us all. We had a situation where we financed a company, and that company, whose lawyer was a very powerful lawyer, who we retained, ended up dealing us out of the financing and out of the company by working a deal with the investor that we put in touch with the company, and the lawyer was under retainer by us. So we went ahead and we were going to sue this lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you needed another attorney.
Sure, we were going to sue it, but the large investor, who was a friend of ours for almost, I mean, a decade, he was saying, no, 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 just don't worry about it. And because I want to go ahead and do it. We basically walked from the deal because we didn't want to hurt our investor. That's
so
it.
We lost again. You must be talking about, what, late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, something like that. I think mid-20s. We were in our mid-20s when we were there. And the company became successful, and is still in business today. In fact, there isn't a company that we've started that I know of, Nevin, that my father or my brother and I started that is not in business today.
Well, how did California? Where did you go after California?
Well, an oil man somehow found out who we were and made some calls, and he made some calls to not only find out who we are, but then to us, and wanted to meet with us, and he did, and he told us about all the gold and all the black gold in Texas, and we're coming off of course a double whammy from the Canadian situation and now the California situation. We took him up on the offer, came here, and financed his deal. And put the money for it together, put all the paperwork in the administration, and took it from A to Z like we did with it, so many others. And it did quite well. I mean, there was a situation where the stock, we were funding at a quarter, and it went to $20 a share.
Where were you living at the time?
We were living in Simonton, Texas.
And you're in Houston now, correct?
Correct. And that was about 14 or 12 years ago or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
hard
I'm
to say.
I'm trying to build a background on Mr. Newsom so that people have an understanding of who you are. Well, okay, after this deal in Texas, where did you go? What did you do?
Well, we financed it, and we saw it through to fruition, and then we decided to it was easy stuff because he's drilling wells and hitting. So we decided to sell all of our holdings and put the money that we had, which was significant. It was about $2 million. And using other people's money as well to double that, we started drilling wells, oil wells. And we drilled a number of them and worked over a number of them from South Texas to the salt domes here in North Texas, or North Houston area, excuse me, and out near Galveston. And we did, 21 wells in total. And we never hit one. Every single son of a gun was dry or a great water well. So we...
Well, you could use water in Texas. Amazing. All the companies that you started for other people were so successful.
And the ones we started for ourselves bombed. In fact, we started four of them, four different oil situations, and every one of them bombed. And that's when my father, it hit him, that... His health started to fail. He got multiple strokes. And we kept saying to him, no, let's not, we don't want to do this anymore. I mean, Doug and I never liked the oil business, and but we were doing it for our father, and we were sticking in all of our money, every dollar we had. We could have, not ended up in a mess because, we did rather well with the oil company we'd financed. But we wanted to keep his heart alive and wanted to keep him working in business, and so we went ahead and kept drilling and putting more money and more money into wells until we had nothing left. And the worst part about it was our father finally went broke and declared bankruptcy, but that didn't end there because we still needed to clean up one of the well sites, which cost us another $180,000. So
yeah, that's the EPA coming in on you, I guess.
Sure. So here you are. You have no money. Your father just went bankrupt. You've spent everything you have, and now they want you to clean it up, your last site, which because of the rains and something happening, it was a mess. And needless to say, we ended up broke again. Totally.
Let's jump a little bit. Obviously, Don, you and your brother, your entire family, you're entrepreneurs.
Well, I wouldn't call it. I don't know if I would call it that, because an entrepreneur doesn't. I don't know what you would call us, to be honest with you, Nevin. I wouldn't give it the title entrepreneur.
a lot of unluckiness, maybe. Okay, let's go back, or excuse me, let's go forward in time. I want to go to January of 2005, the beginning of this year. On January 1 of 2005, where were you? What were you doing?
Well, 7 years, I'd have to start about 7 years ago, March 1st, 1999.
Go for it.
Well, right after the oil fiasco, we had nothing again, of course. And we started working with a multi-level marketing company. And
what does that mean?
Well, it's multi-level. You know, how like Amway, that
oh,
sort
wow.
of company.
Okay.
And we got to know a couple of the main people in that organization. And those people wanted to build their own company. And so we sat down with them, and Doug and I spoke, my brother and I said, Doug, let's do this one more time. Let's
one more dance.
But this,
huh?
But this time it was just Doug and I, you see. It was no longer our father and no longer anybody except for Doug and I. And I said, Doug, we can do this, but let's just do it one more time and let's stay with this company and let's make it something wonderful. And so the two people we met were of such honesty and such depth and integrity that Doug and I were, I mean, really transformed by them, because we hadn't worked with such honorable people in the past. And we built a company that is now producing hair care, skin care, and makeup products, very healthy type products, and selling it all
oh,
over.
Oh, is that the Lamas?
LamasBeauty.com, correct.
Lamas, yeah, okay.
And the two people we met were Daniel Sanders and Peter Lamas, wonderful people. And Peter Lamas is a makeup artist. He did the movie make. He did the makeup for James Cameron's picture, The Titanic, and applied it to the leading stars. He's got quite a resume. He's one of the most well-known and well-respected makeup artists in the world. And I'm proud to call him my friend. And he...
You and your brother continue today to work with
of course,
company, Lamas?
Yes, we do. And because we wanted to build one that would be successful but would help... We wanted something that would change people's lives, and something we could work with for the rest of our life. Because we were tired of the roller coaster, and this presented that opportunity, and we started it, and we funded it, and it's now quite a success. I mean, a huge success. It's I don't want to toot my horn here, but it, if people want to go to www.lamasbeauty.com, they can get a little information about it. But it's quite a wonderful company that we managed to bring forth, and I'm just very proud of the entire team that surrounds it, because everybody is of such a high moral fiber and character that... I just see the energy behind it continually expanding and that company continuing to grow. And I believe in the people that are in it. So
I visited that website, mm-hmm. and folks, there's a lot to see there, especially in the way of health products. You know, women keep putting chemicals on top of their skin, and then they complain because they get rashes, so on and so forth. If you get a chance, visit the website that Don is talking about. They have, folks, women are going to use beauty products. They might as well be safe. These beauty products, many of them are made with natural oils, so do check it out. I'm sorry to interrupt, Don.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. You know, they are the finest skin care, hair care, and makeup products on the market. No doubt about it. And you just got to try it, and you'll understand. Because Peter, he's one man who would rather help you than earn a dollar. That's just his character. And the products that he develops proves that. They do exactly what they're supposed to do, and they do it in a very healthy way, and you'd be surprised at the results. But again, you know, it's just been an adventure for us. And then starting January 1st of this year, you know, I was still working with Lomas, and I still am today, but, you know, going through that kind of a situation in your life, there's very little direction. Do you know what I'm saying, Nevin?
I sure do.
You don't know who you are. You never found out who you are. And I never found out who I was or what I was. You can be driving down the road and just be so lost. And there's such a depth of an extreme depth to that feeling of loss and not knowing who you are or what your life's about, that an overwhelming sadness takes place. And that's kind of how I think my doors started to open. You know, they call it the black night of the soul in many instances. Well, my soul did. It hit bottom, and once it hit that space, you know, then I was open to anything and everything at that moment, and I had some very strange things occur, and it led me in the direction that I'm taking now.
Well, tell us a little bit about those strange things that occurred, such as.
Well, at one point I had, it was an average day, to be honest with you, but I was driving home from a meeting, and I was about a mile from the place where we were staying, and I pulled over on the side of the road, and I looked up in the mirror, and I was, you know, crying, and, you know, you don't really know when you started or why you started, you just crying, and I just felt such sadness at that moment that I just put my head down, just looked down, and I was parked off the side of the road, and I just, no thought. It really tongue-ties me to try to explain what occurred, but I'll do my best. Really, there was a point where I wasn't. I didn't know anything at that moment. I wasn't thinking anything. I didn't know anything. I was at my total despair and hopelessness, but I just stopped. My whole being stopped. And I was looking up. After, you know, I started to look up to the top of the roof of the car, and this white blanket started coming down, slowly materializing through the car and down over my body. And I watched it come down over me. Normally I guess this would be a scary thing, but it wasn't. I was very peaceful and very calm, and it just kept going down and down, and all of a sudden it hit the floor of the car. Well, I couldn't see anything. I was looking out my window, and there was nothing but white. I held my hands up to my face, and I couldn't see my hands. I mean, it was just like you're in this white world with, you can't see anything. You're just in some white world.
Hey, would you describe it as maybe an out-of-body experience, Tom?
No. I that's a little bit different. This was more. I believe, and I've been told that it was Archangel Michael that an angel enveloped me, and because at that moment I knew that everything for the rest of my life would work out. I knew that everything was okay and that I was totally loved and I was at such extreme peace in that moment. There were, I mean, such the depth of peace and love was so extreme. It was hard for me to put into words. You just like
You're doing fine.
A total knowing of what peace and love is. I mean, I guess an entire knowing of your being. And then it started to recede. It went up and just gently lifted up again. And I just sat there for a while in the wonder of it all. And
Was it that experience that led you to the development of blogging service?
Well, I know that I didn't understand what that was at the time. I didn't. See, that had occurred to me right as we were building the oil companies, and I didn't understand it. And it took me a while till I finally even, because I kept coming, but I never told anybody about that. I didn't tell my brother, nor my wife, nor my mother. Nobody knew. And because I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know what it meant. I wasn't a figment of my imagination. I mean, I had no clue.
Oh, I'm sure you had to question your own sanity at that point.
Yeah, I kind of left it alone, you know, because I just didn't have an answer
sure.
for it. But then I, you know, I started to hear things, electronic voice, voice projection in radios. I started to hear things on my TV. In other words, you could be watching a TV, and your wife could be sitting there next to you, or a friend, and it's saying something to you, and you're looking at the TV, and the characters on the TV are actually looking at you, saying things directly into your mind, and you're asking the person next to you if they hear what's going on, and they don't hear it. I mean, you're saying, pointing, but look, they're talking right at me. Don't you see there? I mean, look.
You know, a lot of people wind up in state hospitals with that kind of experience. How did you avoid being tagged or classified?
This became a pretty regular occurrence for a few months. And I just didn't say anything about it. I thought it was nutty. But
you said for a few months that it stopped?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had just about every experience, metaphysical experience you can think of, but never many, never for long. I can almost never recreate them. In other words, that stopped completely. And then one time I was at my wit's end, and I was up in my attic. I had lost my keys. I had been re-insulating an attic, and I didn't know where my keys were. So I quieted my mind, and all of a sudden this voice entered in, and it was just the chuckling, which put me to smiling. And it said, "Don, go downstairs, walk downstairs, take a left, go down the other flight of stairs, walk into your office, and then check on the desk where your little cubby hole is, the second one down in the back behind the pens." Well, let me tell you, I said to the voice, that I had already checked there. And it said, "Well, check again." And I started to laugh, so I walked down, and by God, it was there. And then I heard this laugh, and it went away. Well, the only other time I ever heard voices in my head were when, I mean, of course, I was at a point, it's hard for me to describe, because it's so rare. It's only been a few times where they've been directly, like, direct voices right into my head, where they can tell you things or do things or, like, telling you where to find things or where to look or what's. But now that if I want them or I try to get them in my head, I don't get them, Nevin. And I try, believe me.
It's not on demand.
It's not on demand for me. They, I mean, it's.
Well, your experiences, Don, are absolutely amazing in terms of what you went through historically, and now your current experiences with obviously the esoteric, and you described it as Michael the Archangel. What I want to know is,
oh, there's a lot more of that. Yeah.
Well, when did you conceive of the idea of blogging service? When did that occur?
It just hit me. All of a sudden, it just hit me that I had to do something of that nature. I had to reach out and touch people. It's like, it's almost like you don't even know you're going to do it. You're just doing it, and all of a sudden, you realize why you're doing it.
Well, you have to come up with a format. You have to do a lot of web
programming. It was almost a compulsion. For me to do. It was an overwhelming compulsion. Everybody in my family thought I was crazy. My brother thought I was crazy. My partners thought I was crazy. What the heck are you doing, Don? Why are you doing this? And I'm like, yeah, I just have to, because I know something's coming. I'm getting this feeling. This needs to be done. I've got to do this. And
when did Blog and Service actually become public on the net, where you had...
About February 27th, I believe.
February 27th. Okay, tell us what happened at that point.
Well, since I started building it, I've been getting a lot stranger communications. I communicate. Well, I have this being that communicates with me electrically, sends currents up and down my body whenever I'm to do something, or I'm speaking with people, or something needs to be made known. I get this, like, call it a guide sending me energy signals, and they can be quite overwhelming, to the point where sometimes I wish everybody could experience it, because it's quite different. I've experienced seeing UFOs, seeing them move, seeing how they appear and disappear, having them send me signals, having them dance around in the sky, having aliens connect with me while I'm in meditation. One of them even tried to help me do an out-of-body experience. I've had dreams that are very strange and vivid. I have, I've been touched, I believe, by even Mother Earth herself when I was there. You know, it was a particular plant that I was that I loved very much, and I was trying to convey my love for it, and I was saying a prayer to Mother Earth, Gaiama, and she vibrated an electrical current through a plant that was sitting out. Now remember, this thing's on a stone slab outside my front porch, and the current was so weird, vibrating electrical current, it almost knocked me over. But I knew she'd kissed me at that moment, It's not like I can channel at will like some of these people, or talk with aliens, or I can communicate with spirit, or I can see dead people. I mean, don't get me wrong, I see my spirit guides sometimes. They'll manifest in front of me in energetic outlines, and I can see them very vividly. But it's not like I can just do this at will. It's more on their bidding than mine, and I think that's how my whole life is. I have a job. It's a job to help people find their own divinity, help them become aware of what's going to happen throughout the world, and how they can work together and bring the power of that unity, that unifying force, which is not only outside of them, but also within them. They can bring that unifying force for the greatest good of all concerned. And now, it's grown into a life of its own. Blog and Service has taken on, off, and more strange and wonderful things are occurring. And it's now quite a regular thing. Different strange things are occurring around me, to those that I'm in contact with, or to myself. And
Don, I became aware of Blog and Service around this past, I'd say late April, March sometime.
Right.
Around somewhere in there. Maybe April. And you and I became acquainted probably around May when I started doing a little bit of writing on the blogs. and you would send me some emails, and that's how
right.
we got to know each other. Now, from that point, I mean, we're only talking 7 months. In the past 7 months, login service has grown so rapidly, I mean, and so big. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about our most recent numbers?
Well, we're seeing, you know, our you know, when I say we get 500,000 hits a day, that's you know, we're getting 1 million to 2 million hits a day. And I you know, I'm not a guy who likes to toot my own horn, so I lowballed it up there, but we're doing much better than that. Our Alexa rating is skyrocketing. We're in the top 25,000 websites in the world, and sometimes on a daily basis we'll be in the top 15,000, even the top 10,000. And, you know, our traffic figures are incredible. We get hundreds of emails a day. It's growing. It's got a life of its own. And, I attribute that, Nevin, to energy, to good energy. It's all about people. You see, when people start to figure it out, they start to realize that it's all about people. Everything else doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter. The house doesn't matter. The thing you buy, none of that matters. It's the life. It's the life force. It's the unmanifested, intelligent energy working through us all. And it's that life force that really matters. And you can only see that in others. And when you work with others to bring about positive change and positive action, it creates a higher vibration that uplifts mankind and starts putting people and the planet on a path of healing, acceptance, forgiveness, and love, and what I would call transcendence, which is...
Well, you made a shift in blogging service from a writing format to radio. What brought that about? I mean, how did that start?
Well, you know, as you know, we originally started out more as you know, warning people about our government, and we started less and less into the political arena and more into the spiritual. And as that started to take shape, you know, I thought it would be wonderful if we could add another dimension to the blog-in service, and that would be a dimension of audio, let's call it, where people that... 'cause I'm like you, Nevin. I would pop from one posting board to the other, and I would listen to these radio programs on the internet, and I heard all these wonderful people, but they didn't have their own shows. But they had such important things to say, and I thought it would be wonderful if someone could build a network that could allow people that didn't have either the monetary ability or the technical ability or the equipment to do their own radio program to actually allow them to do it remotely. And
well, who pays for all this? Where does the money come from?
Well, I do.
So everything is out of Don Newsom's pocket?
Correct.
That's got to be heavy duty at some point.
It's getting to be quite heavy duty, yes.
I've been surprised that you have not made any attempts to do any advertising. You don't even advertise the beauty products on
no.
blogging.
Well, we get a lot. Well, I've gotten a lot of people who want to advertise, put banners up, pay for advertising, and we've said no because we wanted to show people, really, Nevin, that it wasn't with us, it wasn't about the money. We wanted to show people that, you know, we were here not to take from them, but to give to them. And we didn't want them in any way to misconstrue that. And
well,
that...
Don, this has been about my, I don't know, maybe my fifth or sixth broadcast. Every week I have seen new equipment, new software. I mean, eventually this has got to take a toll on your pocketbook. I would think.
It's eaten my savings. My savings, believe me, my wife and I and our four wonderful kids had a savings.
Well, I guess it's time for you to start considering advertising. Listen, Don, we're getting to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there. We'll go a little bit beyond. What I would like you to do is open the 800 line, and we'll take some calls. How does that sound to you? I don't know if anybody's actually out there that want to call in, but the number is...
I'm not monitoring the stats, so I don't know. But if you give it to them, I can easily put them through.
All right. The number, folks, is 1-888-268-4313. And if you'd like to say hello, just chat, talk to Don and I, please give us a call. Don, you know, the growth of blogging service has been so absolutely stunning, so absolutely amazing. I mean,
it's because of people like you, Nevin. It really is. It's all about the people. You know, the only thing you can give me credit for was bringing some of the information that these higher sources wanted known, to be made known. And they wanted, I believe, they wanted an avenue to reach out and touch people. And I just actually got that vehicle going. But what's keeping it going and what's speeding it up is the people. And, you know, we've got such a wonderful, wonderful group of people that are a part of this organization that the energy is constantly expanding and the vibration is constantly increasing. So, I mean, I'm thankful to people like you and to the many others out there that are taking their time out of their life to do their programs, to help when it comes to the question the expert board or post on our message boards and give feedback and bring news to the people, whether it be about our government, whether it be to entertain them and give them a laugh, whether it be to challenge their own way of thinking and their own beliefs, but to open them up to a new way of thinking. I mean, it may not be a better way, but it's another way. And it's always...
Yes. I remember quite well, Don, that even in my own life, I somehow got involved with blogging service at a time in my own life when I felt that terrible aloneness that you were talking about before.
Yes.
Feeling extremely isolated and having no control left. You know the history.
I do.
It seems, you know, I use the word coincidence, knowing that there is no such thing. So somehow... I would suspect other people that have joined up with you probably came out of the same kind of thing that I did. They were people who all of a sudden they were faced with, you know, a major life crisis. And here's Don Newsom saying, well, why don't you do a little bit of writing? How about putting out a newsletter? You know what, Don? On the surface, you know, it sounds like, that would be distracting. Well, it was. It actually got me away from... depth that I was in. I mean, and sometimes it was pretty black. So I understand what you were talking about before. And I thank you for the opportunity.
Nevin, I thank you. You know, there is no person that I've met that you know, like yourself, that has such a strength and such a beautiful strength. And I mean that. And, you know, you have such heart and such honor and conviction that it, to me, is, you know, not only do I consider you such a wonderful partner, but such a wonderful friend. And to me, that is the greatest joy in my life, to know that I have friends like Dr. Nevin Campanella in my life.
Well, I thank you so much. And Don, on that note, I think we'll close. I really want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. You shared a lot, and I know some of it was extremely painful to talk about. So that ends our show for tonight. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you very much.
Again, it was a fascinating journey into the realms of forbidden knowledge. And until next time, this is Nevin Campanella wishing all of you health, happiness, and a safe journey on your chosen path. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.